One of the really fun things I've gotten to do in the last couple of years is occasionally watch our next-door neighbor, Jake, who's all of 2.5 years old now. Delightful little kid. He loves playing with blocks and trucks, but in the last several months now, just as likely to go for the trucks, he will go for the books. And he'll hand me a book, tell me a story. I got a phone call a few weeks ago from my brother, who lives in Arizona. He's driving in a car to the Diamondbacks game with his youngest son, 8-year-old Michael. And he says to me, guess what Michael's bringing to the game? Oh, what, a glove to catch a foul ball? No, no. A program to get autographs? No, no, no. He's bringing the third Harry Potter book because he can't be away from it for 3 hours to go to a baseball game. He's going to read it between innings. I thought, how great is that? That whole Harry Potter hysteria, that 7 books about this young wizard Harry Potter and his friends, Hermione and Ron, and how they go off to Hogwarts and learn all about, about a lot more than magic, really. That craze that swept the whole world reading about Harry Potter, well, it's catching on with the next generation to follow, too. How great is that? I mean, I remember reading these books as a kid. The Wizard of Oz, but not just The Wizard of Oz. My mother had gotten all these first edition Oz books. And I don't remember if I sort of was given them by her or if I took them. But I have them, and they're wonderful because the Oz stories just go on and on and on. Well, it's not, this whole idea of telling me a story goes back all the way to the beginning of time, really. Human beings have been telling stories about who we are and about who God is. And we read today about that inborn need for stories in the 78th Psalm. So hear the word of God. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, a lot of people think that this book here, the Bible, is really a book of rules. It's really a manual on how to live. Well, I'll grant you that that's in there. There are plenty of rules in here. There's plenty of really wise counsel on how to live your life. But that's not primarily what the Bible is. The Bible is a book of stories. It's God's storybook. And the Bible it's like a family album, really. And when you open it up, you read stories of people and you see pictures in a way, word pictures of people. And if you read anyone's family album, you look at it and you're looking not just at them, I think, but you're also looking at what connections does their family have to my family. And as you read God's book of family stories, if your ears are open, you'll hear those connections between your story and God's story. You know, the Jewish proverb is, why did God create so many people? And the answer is, because God loves stories. God loves stories. Now, stories have meanings, stories have lessons. Sometimes we say stories have morals, but you would never say that, as soon as you master the moral of the story, you can throw the story out. I mean, you wouldn't do that with Harry Potter. I mean, would you want to read the very first Harry Potter book, Harry and the Sorcerer's Stone, and say, it's really about... It's important to be a friend, and it's important to have courage, even if you don't feel it. So you don't need to read Harry Potter, because I'll just tell you the meaning of it. Who wants to do that? You want to read the story. You want to know the story, because the story embodies the truth in a way that me just telling you the meaning of it doesn't work. I mean, you have to read the story. You have to come to the end of the story and realize that Harry is there ready to face this ultimate evil. This little kid is now ready to go alone to face the powers of darkness. And he's scared. And Hermione, his friend, says to him, she wants to encourage him, and she says, Harry, you're a great wizard. And Harry says, Hermione, you're much better than I am. And it's true. Hermione's much better wizard than Harry. She has read all the books. She has mastered all the spells that they've been given in their first year study of the magical arts. But Hermione shakes her head. She says, books, spells. There's much more important things than that. Harry, there's friendship. There's bravery. You are a great wizard, Harry. And off Harry goes to face the powers of evil with that word about what really matters, which is something that Harry is indeed beginning to master. You'd never throw the story out, because the story embodies the truth. And it's the same way in the scripture. I mean, I could tell you, God is really good at fixing broken people. But how much better to read Jeremiah, where Jeremiah talks about the potter at the potter's wheel who's fashioning a pot, something of beauty, and then it becomes ruined. It becomes ruined. But does the potter give up on it? No. Does the potter throw it away? No. The potter puts it back on the wheel and continues to work the wheel to refashion, reshape, restore that pot into something usable again. And if you have ever felt broken or spoiled or ruined, there's something wonderful about thinking that God is shaping you still, restoring you into something that's not just usable, not just serviceable, but into something beautiful once again. I am the potter, Lord, or I am the clay, Lord, you are the potter. You're the potter and I'm the clay. It's a truth that we experience if you hear the story. And, Jesus told stories all the time. He told parables. And you would never say, I'll take the meaning out of that parable. I don't have to know the story. I mean, even a simple story that Jesus told, like the pearl of great price, when you find that one beautiful pearl, the most gorgeous pearl, you give everything you have to have that one thing that is the most beautiful, the most precious. And if you're paying any kind of attention at all, you have to ask yourself, what's the pearl of great price in my life? Am I spending my time, my resources, my life in the service of what matters the most? Or am I frittering it away? What's the pearl of great price? Well, really, it's not just the stories that Jesus tells, it's that Jesus is the story that God tells. Jesus is the story that God tells. And when Jesus encounters a man who's paralyzed, who cannot move, and tells him to rise and walk, and he does. If you're a person who's ever been paralyzed by fear or by depression or despair, then you're listening for that voice that tells you that just maybe you too will stand and rise and walk and live again. And when Jesus talks to the two thieves, when he's on the cross, and the one thief admits to Jesus that I deserve what I'm getting, but remember me, just remember me. And Jesus forgives him. Today you'll be with me in paradise. And if you have ever been overcome by guilt, by the burden of a past that you cannot change, you wish so much you could change what you had said or done, and you cannot. To know that there are words of forgiveness, that whatever it is in the past does not define you, but no, you can actually be free from it. That's the story God tells about the thief, but it's also the story God tells about us. And the story God tells even has darkness in it, plenty of it, really. The story God tells talks about the absence of God. I mean, Jesus there on the cross, Jesus himself says to God, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Even within the stories of God, there's the reality that there are times when we too feel forsaken, when we too feel abandoned, when we feel alone. And of course, that's not the last story. The last story, the best story, is the Easter story. The Easter story that is not just a metaphor, not just a like the springtime coming back again with new life every spring, the cycle of the seasons. No, but the Easter story that tells us the last word God speaks to us is not death, but life. But life. So the story God tells reflects our stories, and I think many of the great stories that we read connect to God's story, to the Wizard of Oz. You know, in the beginning, you know, you've seen the movie, There's No Place Like Home, There's No Place Like Home. But the truth is, if you keep reading the Oz stories, Dorothy keeps going back to Oz because that's where her heart is. Just as we live in this world that is our home, and yes, we belong here, and yet our hearts belong to another home, another place. And Harry Potter is all about resurrection. And indeed, J.K. Rowling, this good Scottish Presbyterian who wrote this wonderful series of books, she tips her hand at the very end of the book when she's speaking of the love of Harry's mother. And they find on her grave that final and greatest of truth, that the greatest of these is love. That love conquers death, always and forever. All those echo the great story that God tells in Jesus, the great story that intersects our stories. The great story that begins with a tree of life and that ends with the promise of life everlasting in this world as well as in the next. Which is why Jesus said so often, "Let those who have ears, let them hear." Pray with me. O Lord, in the stories we read, the stories we see, the stories we hear, whether they be in books or in movie theaters, whether they be the stories we're living, give us ears to hear and eyes to see how they connect to your great story of life. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen.